If he, so what did they say after that? They was like, of course he is the leader. He's taking credit for the fall of the Super Bowl so many times. If he took credit for that, then leave me alone. If he didn't, then he's not the leader you say he is. So either way, the only thing I'm saying is get your foot off my damn neck. I can't breathe, G.
Welcome back to the hey.
Nothing but nothing, baby. Hey, that's what we do.
And then past that rope was the hood.
Fuck that.
He said, oh, you want a shot? I said, yeah.
I'm in the city, fuck with me, now I got fucking city.
Light it up. Light it up.
Welcome to the Raw Room.
That's what really, like, kills me. When they speak about the running back position and shit now, it's like, dog,
it's so disrespectful.
If you in the game, like, so in the fight of the game, like, come on, man. That shit so has to do with everything.
Nah, yeah.
With facts. Everything.
The so running back like, are definitely, bro, back in the day, are definitely nah, in the bro, game, that, motherfucker.
Nah, like, quick. But yeah, yeah. But throughout the game, it's like, man, you really, you like those body blows in boxing. It's just like, I mean, if, like, the defenders ain't, they, like, you can lose a play, but you're not scared of little receivers.
Right.
Like, the quarterback not going to physically impose his will on you. Like, the running back is that hammer. It's like, that's that.
The enforcer for the offense.
The O-line is like the enforcers. The running back is like,
Or the hitman type.
Yeah,
shit,
like that hitman. It's like that bully. It's just like, no, you're going to feel me. Like, you're not going to want to play out here having to deal with me on a regular basis. Like, you kind of the one position that can really... Really enforce your will in that way.
It's making them quit. Like,
making them quit. Yeah.
Taking that fight out of them. Like,
exactly.
I'm just going to keep coming at you. By the time it's third or fourth quarter, you're not going to, like,
you're not going to want to tackle him. That's Adrian Peterson to a T. You're not going to want to deal with this man all day. Derrick Henry and those guys, man. It's like,
Marshawn Lynch said the same thing. I'm just going to hit you in the face.
Over and over and over and over.
Niggas, you ain't gonna
do this shit nobody.
Niggas, for real.
On God.
Yeah, for real, for real.
On God.
You're right.
And so, that's offensive defense and a team like that. And then when other things happen, it's like you can't get lost in what that took. That was a full thing.
Right. Damn. Losing a Super Bowl, bro. I know the pain of that. Damn.
Dog, that,
but yeah, I don't, I don't, true, I don't, I don't,
both y'all know.
I don't know, I don't know, like, you know, the fulfillment of winning a championship.
Yeah.
And you do, but it's different when you get to play
when
in the game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know wholeheartedly what you went through, you know what I'm saying, losing a Super Bowl and actually being out there fighting the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt the confetti rain both times. The first time it was for
it
us.
It was for you. And the
second
time
it was like that. Yeah. And I stood there to see what it felt. I'm like, damn, G.
That shit
like,
hurt.
That's the worst feeling because it's like, is there anything you could have done to make sure, like, this ain't the case? And to be real, that's what, like, that's what keeps me so solid and sound in myself. When it came to that 2010 and where we lost, it's like, man, I did absolutely every single thing I possibly could have did.
Right.
So I don't feel bad for myself. It's like, nigga, I couldn't have did more than I did. You know what I'm saying?
And niggas think it's a joke. They get the, you lost the Super Bowl, this, that, and the third. Like, niggas really be like, bro,
life in that shit.
You can shut the fuck up right now because you ain't get close.
Nah, and I ain't gonna lie, man. I'll be ready to, like, fight about that shit. Like, at a point in time, like,
at a point, early on?
At a point in time, and especially, like, for me, because of how it happened, there was people that would, like,
I bet say,
really kind of try and play with me. And, you know, fans, when it's like, when it's beyond that line, it's like they kind of, like, want to push and kind of almost want to see you lose your shit.
Right.
And it's like, and so it's like, it ain't even, I ain't stupid. It ain't what you saying. I'm like, why you think you can play with me like that?
Right.
You know
that, that is the biggest,
like, why
that
you
is
think
the
you can play?
Part, right.
Like, you know what I'm
just
saying?
Just because
niggas wasn't playing when he was never playing in his life at all. It's like, man, I did what I did coming from Chicago, like North Suburban and Scully. It's like, yo, I was never playing about anything that I'm doing. This dude buy a ticket in the seat. What make him think he can play with me?
Oh, God.
Mm.
Right. Mm. Something that I literally put my heart and soul in, like, I'm away from my family for 85% of the year.
I didn't alter my damn body, like, playing this game.
Right.
I'm seeing doctors, like,
alter my mind,
like, all kind of,
like,
x-rays and shit. Yeah. And then somebody just, like, want to be on the couch, like, joking.
Nah, yeah, that shit not cool.
Nah,
for
real.
That shit not cool, gang.
It's like, nigga, go to Target, get some pads. They sell pads at Target, don't they?
Oh, God.
Go to Target,
oh, God,
get some pads.
Hey, man, go
fucking play. Like, get off that.
The pros versus
Amazon,
the Joes,
Amazon.
Volume 2 in this bitch.
Nah, for real. Nah, them Joes got out of hand, G. Them motherfuckers out of hand now. Like,
nah, they is.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Like,
pocket.
They are kind of, like, you know, creating sports because I already know how y'all feel about, like, flag football.
Bro,
it's like they're like creating
that. But it ain't even
sports.
That though. It's like the motherfuckers that talk, like, that really think because they watch you play that they could do it better than you because they watch you do it and you make a mistake or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and then they come at you like, oh, well, you suck. Well, you come.
No,
you come do here. Better.
Please try.
Exactly.
Please try.
And I don't know where that boldness comes from. Like, it's kind of brand new at a time. And even like, you had to kind of like, even when I grew up, like watching NFL films and all of that, man, football was so revered. Yeah. Like those guys fighting through those injuries and all that. And I'm just like, and even when you saw people and they'd be like, oh my God, you play for the team. There was this reverence. And I'm like, what happened and where did that go? Where
social
now
cats are seeing social media.
That's what I'm
where
saying.
Where did respect go?
So, like, internet, media where they just sitting there acting like it's a joke. The keyboard thugs a place to have a voice.
Okay. Man, but it's thugs in real life. So what happened?
Question though. Question
when that shit means.
Yeah, facts.
Man, my man right here. What you do for? You put hands on. It's for a living,
for
G.
For a living, bro.
For a living. And somebody want to play. It's like, all right, like.
Come on, you don't realize what I can really do to you.
No, exactly.
Give me some clarification though, because like. You said something in particular about like people saying that they think that they can do better than you.
Or just talking reckless.
No, talking crazy.
This be the one. This be the one. The goddamn Titans O-line, so I could go out there and block somebody better than they could.
Okay, I'll do it.
I could catch that wide open fucking pass, bro. Yeah.
I got ass out. You wouldn't even get back there behind him. Stop playing. You wouldn't get back there behind him.
But, I mean, do y'all not feel like that fans don't have a right at all to say anything about how a team is playing?
It's not that.
At all?
It's not that.
No, they could comment on this stuff, but when they start...
When it gets personal.
Right, when they start making shit personal.
When they cross the line, there's a like invisible line.
For
like,
what?
Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, like...
When you're
like,
beyond that line.
Getting where personal.
Where it becomes disrespectful.
Getting personal, saying that you can do it better, all that dumb stuff. I get that. But, like, I mean, like, fans, like, you know, especially if they rep for the team. For instance, like, that one fan in New York, the guy that teeth fell out.
Yeah.
I feel like there was like another fan that said they was talking to the QB and said, "Yo, these tickets cost too much." Something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like, I just feel like, bro,
being a fan is one thing.
That's fine.
Yeah. Being a fan is one thing.
Saying that, that's fine. Even saying like telling me I suck, that ain't.
Yeah.
Being critical of your team is okay.
But there's a limit. There's a line.
Personal.
Yeah.
That's where we like, bro, you're doing too much.
I agree with you.
And there's this kind of space where they acting like, I really feel like they're forgetting that we're the experts in the game, like in the sport.
Yeah, we're professionals.
We're professionals.
We the top.
Where they're feeling like, how do you believe you up there and understand it? You wasn't even in the fucking facility when we did this game plan. Right. You don't even know if that was my guy or not. You didn't see what the hell our board was. That's Buddy right there. Yeah. Like, at what point did they become so pro, so knowledgeable that they know more than the people that's actually like in the game?
I feel like it's always been like that. The only reason why you see it... Now, listen to me.
Okay.
The only reason why...
Behind, at the bar, when they was at the bar.
People have always been talking shit. But with to your point, when social media came out, you had to see it a little bit more. That's really what it is.
There's a lot of shit that they'll say online that if they were to see you face to face.
Nah, couldn't possibly.
Come on now.
Nah, couldn't possibly.
A lot of stuff. There's a lot of the common disrespectful shit. All the Twitter fingers, all that stuff that they say on these boards and social media.
Yeah.
I guarantee you all of them, if they were to see you face to face.
They couldn't stand in front of you and try and bully you in real life. Like, okay.
I feel that.
And you got to feel exactly
and
how
that's,
I feel.
But, and that's fan critique, though,
that's,
is stuff.
That's fine.
That is acceptable.
That's
like talking shit. Like,
that's fine. That's part of it.
That's part of it.
It's the disrespect. When it gets disrespectful, that's to the point to where that's what he's talking about. But it's like, it's getting booed and like, that's all
part.
It's
part of the game.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I was saying. But I see what you're saying about like getting... Like when it, all right, yo. Like now you get in person.
You know what's funny?
That's my manhood.
When it's kind of gotten there, it's funny. The worst ill I didn't ever wish for somebody who was talking crazy was that they would be in my exact shoes. Okay. Whoever you are, whatever your body size, I wish they put the exact same pads on you and you standing 8 yards behind the quarterback and they got to blow that thing. Good luck trying to make it through the first quarter. Nigga, the first drive.
Oh, God.
Whoever, I wish I could put whoever talking crazy
come do it
in my pass on that buddy, field. And they're like, no, there ain't no slowdown. You know they don't play.
Come do
all
it.
All right, do this exact same shit. You go into the hospital. Your ass going straight to the hospital. You can't fake play running back unless you an actual running. You can't stand back there and play that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't been at practice. I didn't been in the scout team, nigga.
No,
and like, that shit not sweet.
No, it's not.
They were like, JC, get back there and run the goddamn.
Hey, Jay, boom, the first play. I'm through the little B gap, cut back, boop, ball out. I said, God, Jay, boy, this shit not sweet at all. So putting some respect on your name. Earlier this year, you got inducted to the Fighting Illini Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
That's a big accolade.
Yeah, appreciate
that. In the building. So talk about that, because Hall of Fame type. You know, recognition
is big. It don't matter where it's at. Hall of Fame, anything is
facts,
big.
Facts.
Dog, that man, that just felt like a long time coming.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, damn, man, when they called me, and even like it took me a minute to even like
process,
like, settle in, yeah, and sink in. Cause I'm not even gonna lie, where it's like cause even after the Super Bowl and shit and how my career ended, it felt like almost like where there was people trying to like make me a pariah in a sense.
Right. Make you like the bad guy type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so getting that call, I literally felt like I went from football hell to football heaven.
No, yeah.
For real. Where it's a blessing. Like they called me and like sainted me and said, no, like you one of our greatest ever. And to even think like the Fighting Illini history, that it's kind of crazy where it's like with Red Grange. Well, I'm not sure if y'all know where he was kind of like, he's kind of seen as like the first like superstar of the game, because the game was still being established.
Right.
When he got drafted into the NFL, it was still the AFL and the NFL.
Yep.
And people were trying to figure out
which one was the
real game.
Right.
And when Red Grange went to the NFL, that's when it kind of answered the questions, where they were like, no, this is the real league. This has the best players.
Right.
And where they say he was the first one where there was like people taking buses, planes, trains,
trying
coming
to get
out
to the game
droves, trying to see him play. And at that same time, where like, you know, George Halas, who's all like one of the like main founders of the league, like George Halas coming from Illinois, and Red Grange and Dick Buckus, and just to see, and when those articles was coming out in my name in that same vein, I'm like, damn, man, like that.
Oh yeah,
that means everything. Hall of Fame is football heaven. You said it right. That's football heaven. Yeah, the Hall of Fame.
Facts.
So it's like, no, that really means like everything. Gee, I can't even.
Right.
I'm still allowing that, and even seeing the younger guys and my teammates and the whole shit.
Right. They had like a ceremony. What was that?
Big ceremony. Deep. It was at the State Farm Center, the basketball arena.
Okay.
On Illinois' campus. Yeah. And getting inducted with
suited and booted. I see your boot. What is that, boutonniere?
Oh yeah, they got the little prom flower.
Yeah.
Who else was in that cut? Yeah, I mean, was it just you, or did they have a few?
No, there was 12 inductees. Okay. And there was Kenny Battle, part of the Flying Illini from Hoops and Basketball.
Okay.
There was Jack Trudeau, who was a quarterback,
long-time
quarterback. There's Asia Evans and Asia Nicole, and I think her last name's Casley. But just like even seeing their stories, hearing what they did and being a part of like Illinois athletics.
Right.
Forever, like ongoing. That really meant a lot.
Oh, that's a nice little list.
And I think in the 133 years of the school, there's like 120 some people. Like, so over 130 years, there's 120 some people in the Hall of Fame.
Oh wow! Oh, they don't even they're not even doing this every year.
Real. Nah, it's real.
Nah, bro.
Yeah, yeah, it's very rare.
You can't get in. You didn't do enough. You didn't do enough.
I am curious. I mean, because I'm pretty sure, like, obviously, your on the field accolades are amazing. But I mean, did they take into consideration off the field things as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of the positive notoriety you brought to the university through your representation and everything. And I was academic all Big Ten, and low key for one semester, I was academic all American. I went crazy in school.
Shit.
I got like a 3.75 or something. I was always 3.0, but I went crazy.
That's some hard shit to do.
Yeah,
man.
And was an academic all American. Like
that's some
up.
Hard to be an All-American on the football field and in the classroom is harder than motherfuckers think.
What was you studying? I got to ask.
Man, recreation, sport, and tourism.
Sports.
What you mean?
Majored
in ball.
I always got to ask.
Majored in ball, bro.
Sports administration.
No, but for real, because they be getting my damn, my what is it called?
Your
my
major?
My major wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to go in community recreation. For real. For real, community recreation.
That's fine.
Because growing up, my mom's a youth minister.
Yeah.
Okay. Mom's a youth minister. So I grew up in the church. Grew up doing programs in the community. Right. So in the RST, I'm like, no, I want to major in community recreation and through programs. Like Nito Brown. for the kids in the community. I got nowhere to be. Because I remember when I was a shorty at the park, Lee Wright Park, and we called them Skittles. They used to have, I don't know if this ever, like if y'all had this, where for a period of time, it was for like two summers, they used to have older kids that work for the park district, and they come in these really cool shirts, and they go to the playgrounds, and they just have like bags full of like balls and little hockey goals and nets, and they show you and teach you how to play. And it was the rawest shit ever.
That's live.
So you just had a park, like a public park.
That's like a...
And you had a full, like helper, like supporter in your play. Like, they'd be like, oh, you can play this game like this. They referee.
That's live.
And I'm like, damn, that's so raw.
That's like a YMCA community center type, but just like shit. But you had the park, and you could just go and pop in and pop out.
Yeah.
Y'all like trying to hoop. Y'all trying to play ball. Y'all
yeah. You fall off a bike, and somebody there, like, helping you. I'm like, damn, this crazy.
Somebody come over, be like, what the hell y'all doing? Well, we playing with the net spike. We playing spike ball. Can you teach me? We gonna get some spike ball on. I got you, bro.
Exactly.
You know that's
live. Exactly. Yeah. So
that's like that's the new age Foursquare. You know, we have Foursquare. They got spike ball.
Spike ball.
Spike ball different. Spike ball.
Yeah. Spike ball is a whole different.
Okay.
Foursquare. Community recreation.
Oh man.
That's live.
Yeah. I'm old. Remember, I'm aging myself. You know, y'all like to call me old.
I'm dead.
And I ain't even trying to be young out here. They wild. I'm straight.
Big fat. So
I'm straight.
Just quick. So on the end of the career, you made a decision to retire early.
Yes.
Which for a lot of motherfuckers, this ain't never been in the shoes, ain't never stepped a foot in the facility, put the pads on ever. Like, it's a big decision to make, but everybody that plays, when one of your teammates be like, shit, bro, I think I'm done with this shit. And you look at that nigga and be like, for real, bro? And he be like, yeah. You be like, well, shit, that's what's up, fool. Like,
that's what's up. Yeah, because you know what it's the end of.
You know what it takes to be a part of this shit, and then you also know it takes so much more to walk away from it under your own, like, I think I'm volition. I'm done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you cool with it, niggas have no, you know what I'm saying, no other option but to respect and be like, yeah, I mean, shit, bro, that's what's up. I respect you because a lot of motherfuckers gonna try to play as long as they possibly can. You know what I'm saying? Put your body through that. Yeah, so it's like what was the decision?
I still wanted I wanted my mental faculties, man. Right. I wanted my body. I wanted to be able to not just play with my kid, like when my son's growing up. I wanted to be able to run, show him how to do a left hand and right hand layup. It was like when I was going into the league, I kind of always knew like the second, and I've always, I grew up in the church. I've always been spiritual, been tuned in with God. I knew that, man, I knew there was a purpose on my life. And I knew football was, my mom used to always say football is a vehicle. That's only like part one.
Yeah.
And part two would take on after that. And so going into it, I knew it's like, all right, this ain't my whole life, my entire life. And I'm gonna give this everything I have. But the moment is kind of like where I'm called, where God's like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
When I knew that moment that I was done, whatever it was, I knew I was going to walk away from it. And that happened after 5 years in Pittsburgh, rookie contract, the single year in Arizona. Man, still did well. Was that interior runner on some bet shit?
Yeah, you did.
Which is really cool. Numbers. Yeah, no, real life. And when that was kind of like done and complete, I felt that throughout the year where it's like, all right, I kind of felt like that was it. And it's wild because even knowing what I know now, I kind of knew then, that's at that same time too where they start to devalue running backs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we had Andre Ellington behind me who was playing really well, doing his thing, and we was kind of like 1A, 2A, 1A, 2. And I knew they wanted to see him. So after that, then I'd have been like back on the free agent market looking for another team. No, I know I'd have ended up somewhere weird. I'd have been in Tennessee, like wearing number 37 and shit.
I'm
and
they'd
have been
like, weak.
And it don't even, no, exactly. I'm fucking weak. And the thing is, it don't even matter how raw you do at running back, they still don't say you suck. Cause I'm like, no cap. Like, Matt Forte, he went to the Jets and was still going crazy, G. Yeah. Like, Chris Johnson, when he got to Arizona, like, cats, even when you go on and do well at running back, they gonna say, oh, you're not what you were. Cause people know me at 34 in Pittsburgh.
Right.
He's not what he was in Pittsburgh. Like, oh, he's getting older. Like, you know, you want to see younger. That's the time they start devaluing running backs. Yeah. So I knew, like, it already been, like, something funny.
I got to ask you, man, because, this is just my question all the time when I hear that phrase, because I do get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But who is the actual they? Is it?
It's a great question. I think it's the culmination. What makes up the chatter of the game. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, it's like
the narrative.
Everybody, the narrative around the sport. It's like, I'm being for real. You got commentators. I'll be talking to my wife about this. This shit really pissed me off. Where it's like, think about this. you got a lot of people speaking on the game of football that don't love the game. Think about that.
Damn.
They don't even love the game, and they speaking about it. They love what, okay, this can do this for me. So they delivering a whole message to the fans, and they don't love the sport.
Don't give a fuck.
They don't know the sport. And it's like that all this shit is having an effect. You got people playing fantasy, but they might be the best person in fantasy. So they speaking to a whole bunch of people who want to know what's going on in fantasy. Yeah. It's a lot of voices around the sport. Some voices with a lot of weight. And like, I don't know why I'm thinking about him, but like every voice ain't Chris Collinsworth. Like that motherfucker really be talking about football. No, he really care. Man, I love when that man speaks. It just need to be like him and a few people that speak on the game, because that's how it always was. And now it's just like, it's so much. Because I'm telling you, you can't. When you see Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco, you can't devalue the run. When you see what Saquon did, like, last year, I mean, I personally believe the two biggest stories in the NFL was obviously Geno Smith in Seattle, but also Saquon as, like, a comeback player. And what he did for the Giants. Man, the Giants, damn, boo-boo. They in the damn playoffs. They won a game in the playoffs. He playing crazy. And I'm like, damn, how is that? That's what I'm saying. Of course they're gonna pay, but even I understand you make that.
They paid Jones, of course, over his own feet.
Of course, but even with that, because you know we get to the pay. But I'm saying in the story, how you can't say what he did to that team, that turnaround. You know, even the energy that he bring into practice. When you guys watching, you see how his teammates like responding and reacting. Oh, he really like leading out there, and so now this team got some hope and belief. It's like, come on, Daniel Jones didn't do that by himself. No. Saquon not a part of that shit.
Right.
That's like crazy asinine for me to see. So it's just like, dog, if you got two eyes and you actually care about this game and you watch that,
you know what's going on.
You have to be honest to what's going on out there. Yeah. You have to be honest to what happened. And like a lot of this made up stuff, like just because, it's having a real effect on the game.
Right.
And I don't like that shit.
Nah.
I don't like that shit. As a former lineman, bro, I hate the disrespect towards running backs. It's crazy.
Damn, man. Yo, that shit be.
That's crazy, the game we play. That's what we do.
No, that's what we do, man.
But it's still play like you still like, you have a good running back, you're going to have a decent season. Right. A decent team. Like,
dog.
Yeah,
nah. Running back is the workhorse. And like, you know, especially being an offensive line. I know, like, the disrespect and like not want to pay running backs and devaluing running backs and like turn niggas loose like a running back. Having a really good running back, bro, means a lot to a football team.
And it changed the whole. Like direction of the team.
Indeed.
And it's crazy. It's like when football started, there wasn't even a forward pass.
Exactly.
Like, how you gonna all get rid of like player one?
Damn, man. That's
crazy. It wasn't even a forward pass.
Yeah, RB
like,
player one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what did that say?
The game started. Somebody picked the ball up. It was like, all right, I'm running. Come get me.
What did that say, Faye, at the top? Oh shit, he went back. There hasn't been a
Pro Bowl running back on a Super Bowl winning team since Marshawn Lynch.
But what that mean? What that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with Saquon carrying the Giants from obscurity to like being a contender? Well, that don't have nothing. That's a like made up stat. It's like, no, because there's too many factors that go into the team that win the Super Bowl and lose the Super Bowl. Because I'm like, even with just stuff where it's like the whole team playing.
And they lost the Super Bowl by not running Marshawn.
That's exactly what happened. That's a great point, Bar.
Exactly what happened.
That's a bar.
You let Marshawn run all the way to the one, and then...
One of my buddies we was talking about that shit over this past weekend. They'll run the motherfucker, goddamn, all the way down to the run yard line.
Yeah.
Get up and throw a slant.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, hand this motherfucker the ball.
Of course. But either way, even if you don't, all right, let's not forget, because he threw a 1 yard slant, how we got down here.
We was running this thing down there.
And we threw this thing. There's only two phases on the offense, running pass. How you going to ignore the whole other half of the offense? Yeah. All right, nigga, when it's second and three, throw it every time. Like, sweetie, it's like, come on, man. We got too much to do with that game for them to be playing on that. Like,
The devalue of the running back is really outrageous, bro. Outrageous.
I got to ask.
But I really believe.
We're going to put that shit on the shirt, bro.
I really believe, but I believe that can only come from people who aren't really in the game. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm being for real.
Of course.
Even what the running back position is. I'll say myself, you're going to take the guy off the field that's 5'10 and 3/4, 227 pounds, run a 4.37 and can lift the weight room. You're going to take him off a football field? Nigga, for what? It's just like, you got one of the most athletic people. Like, what is he out there doing? It's just like, come on, man. Like, it don't even make sense. But I think that, I honestly believe, I'm going to say this, like, it's conspiracy. I only believe that can come from people who don't understand football.
Yeah.
Who actually literally do not know the game, do not play the game, and has never had to stand in front of somebody shooting out of that hole like that.
Right.
They ain't never had to stand in front of that. So they don't know what kind of decision the defense needs to make. That can only come from somebody who don't play the game. Right. That's facts.
No, yeah, that's, I will have to agree with that because. Yeah.
Even in the locker room, what like each position means, what the running back means to the team. Like, right. Come on, man.
All my Nashville people, y'all tap in with Nashville's premier dispensary with the best THC flower menu. They got the Gary Payton, the lemonade, the purple punch, gelato, and more. Y'all check out the edibles, the elixirs. The edibles is really gas. I tried the chocolates.
Okay.
They was nice. They did have King over there slumped on the couch a little bit. The elixirs is fire. Get the extra strength ones because those is good. The lifestyle goods, they got some balms, some, you know what I'm saying, for your knees, your hip. You might need to get some of that shit.
I actually just bought some myself, actually.
I use it too.
It's really nice.
They got two locations, one in Germantown and one on Whitesbridge. Mm-hmm. They're really nice stores. Y'all need to go check them out. And if you can't get into the store and you're not in Nashville, you can definitely go to theperfectplantmarket.com, order on there, they'll ship it to you. It's all legal. THC flower, THC edibles, elixirs and more shipped directly to your door. Everything is federally legal, and if you need the highest quality cannabis around, shop with Perfect Plant. And don't forget to use the Raw Room code, Raw Room, at perfectplant.com for the 15% off.
Perfectplantmarket.com.
Perfectplantmarket.com.
Boom! And that's THCA. THCA. Just so everybody knows.
Flower. Federally legal. Y'all gonna get that. Cop that. So your life after football, this is Sweet's favorite part. We talk.
I gotta get to it. We start talking
about the shows. Oh, matter of fact, I'll let you do this with Sweet. Hey,
I want to go back. I want to go back a little bit further because I got shout out to Flamin' Old Raps, bro. He put me on some shit. So,
yeah, that was fire.
It was fire.
Absolutely.
So you can rap though,
man. So here's the thing. Here's the real shit.
What's up,
dog? I can write. For real.
I'm about to say, writing.
Yeah.
Anything, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I write raps. I'm not even gonna lie, G. Like, I didn't been in studios. I didn't pen songs.
I mean, I believe.
You know how AB's been on this run and shit like that. Yeah. I didn't been in studios.
Yeah.
Like breaking down bars. Niggas in there, who is this nigga? Like, who the fuck is him? Why we listening to him? I'm like, nigga, like, y'all just look me up. But like, no, I write for real.
Okay.
And music's part of that writing. Yeah.
Yeah, writing.
So, I mean, and yeah, nigga, they can put
writing
down
is writing. It don't matter what. Yeah.
Okay. So like, you in the shop. I feel like.
Hey, man, I got it. You know how you was playing that music? Type in "You Are the Way You Are" on YouTube. And then space and then Ra. R-A-H. Let that shit play.
That sound.
Feeling real good to be from Chicago right now.
Oh, this you.
You know, it's so a we good day in the shy when it's early February and the sun's out. This one of them old school bangers with a long intro. And
hey, man.
I'm going to let y'all know how I feel right now, man. Sonic. Chicago skylining it, Lakeshore driving it, black jag, black rims, black tint, prominent, the age of a college kid, but spit that potent common sense, things that you may not think about, I just acknowledge it, I rock it with a chip on my shoulder, when I was younger, niggas made fun of me, so I came back like Lazarus, no longer an amateur, and this ain't the Apollo, none of niggas probably fans of me,
but
money they can't borrow, they sell some side stories, but I never die.
This gas right here.
I'm on my pimping shit, swagger like Zorro. Black shit today and exotic bitch tomorrow. Check my bank account, you could have sworn I hit the lotto. Yeah. But I've been working hard just so I can be your boss. I'm only 21, but I ain't come here to floss. See, I'm just setting trends like I'm Ken to Chris Cross. But niggas don't get it, and I'm getting pissed off. That ain't the way to go. A Hummer on 84s. People looking at you like I seen that before. The monkeys got some money, now they buying out the store. Big face watches and clothes that is couture. $1,000 suits and luggage that stay below. You ain't gotta spend if you plan on making more. Short-term thoughts to give you long-term drop. I hate to bring it back to Chicago, but that's just what it's about. A Midwest sophistication that you don't see in the South. I love my niggas, my city's where I live. I'm riding for the Blue Pays and Curtis Mayfield.
Nah,
man, I forgot about that part. I wrote that when I was 21.
Yeah.
I was coming back from like the spring in my rookie time.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I pulled up on the lot and I had the old school Jaguar. And it was like a, it was used. It was like a 03.
Okay.
And niggas making fun of me. He's like, oh, first round, you supposed to have this, have that. And it was kind of like, I was like, damn. And I came, I don't know. I went back home and it was kind of like, this was the feeling. But it was almost like a smooth diss track.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, nah, man, I'm from a different place.
Right.
We do that shit different.
Right.
And in Chicago, you can't even if you see like Durkinham, you can't even like stunt or flash too hard. So motherfuckers are like, get it up off you, take
right,
it.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if you remember my rookie year, I got robbed and shit.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, that was my way. I couldn't, in the time, and I was like 20. I was actually 20 when I got drafted.
Right.
And turned 21 at this. But I was like, man, I couldn't say it in real time the way I could say it. When I got back home, I laid this track and I was like, all right, this is how I feel.
Right.
It's like, man, and that's like the sound and the old school. It's like, man, I'm from Chicago. We doing it differently. And like, this is my beast.
Y'all got soul, man.
Like, yeah, but it wasn't no like disrespect, but I kind of put that because I'm like, man, that same press that I felt when I got there, it was like, oh, nigga, you got money. You supposed to be doing more. I'm like, no, you supposed to do less. Then you have it for longer.
Yeah.
And that's how I said it on that track.
Okay. All
that's
right.
Fire.
Hey, that was fire, man. That was fire. This is fire. Yeah. That was fire. Dope. So, all right. I love the real topic. I love shows.
Yeah.
I love a good show. I love a good movie. Before we even get to Ballers, though, like, what was that transition? I want to hear about that. Like, what was the transition from, all right, you know, you've made your decision and, like, you knew that you want to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come about saying, all right, I'm about to start writing? Man,
it was like, it wasn't a transition from that sense because I've been writing my whole life.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, this was, that started when I,
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when I was in high school, it actually started when my dog, Lance Newman, he had a studio set up and used to rap and make music. He made beats and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd be in there with him and my dude, Mark. And in that time where it's like, we used to be in a studio, used to be making raps, but I realized in that time, I just loved having a pencil and a notebook more than anything.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like when I was leaving even high school and my dog Mark said, he's like, yo, whatever you do, don't stop writing. And he didn't say don't stop rapping. He said, don't stop writing. So I always kept a notebook and I always kept a pencil. And so even when I was in college, when I was in the league, I was always writing prayers. I was writing raps. I was writing poems. I was writing short stories. Mm. If something like pissed me off, frustrated, I just go off on my notebook. Just go off about it and then be looking at it. I was like, damn, that's what I felt like. And then it'd be cool after that. So
that's smart.
So even when I was in the league and the facility, I had my playbook, always had books on me and shit to keep just to keep myself like level-headed. So when I and this goes back to growing up in the church, my mom being a youth minister, and she was like really strict about education.
Taking notes and
where,
shit.
It'd be little shit, like if things happened in the world, like when I was young, I used to ask my mom. And be like, oh, mom, what's this? What's that? And she would never tell. She's like, no, boy, look it up.
Ooh.
Look it up. You ask her something, she's like, I'm not going to tell you the answer. Look it up. And one day I just got pissed off with her saying that. Well, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to look it up every single time. Every time I'd be like, all right, I'm fucking grabbing books. I'm going to the library. If I ever get a question, and that's how I found out about the Fighting Illini. The steel is in the steel mill.
Mom's a real
I go cool. really look it up, learn it, research that. And that kind of always became a part of my like personal practice. So when I stopped playing.
It wasn't no Google.
Right. No, it wasn't. It wasn't no Google at the time. You had to go find that. Yeah.
Go to Google.
Yeah.
And look.
No, real life.
Yeah, no, do some real research.
Get real research. Right. Before all of that shit. And so while I was in the NFL, in the league, And this was funny. I don't know if y'all, when Twitter came out and all of that, and I got into controversy, low key, I was like one of the first people they tried to cancel, really low key, just because of the timing.
You've been in some controversy
with the Bin Laden shit. You remember at the time when the United States killed Bin Laden?
Yeah.
And then in the world, if people remembered, it was some football player that spoke up. I caught hella heat, hella flack. And I remember looking around, looking left and right, and my like family, people, they were so afraid. They was like, yo, what do you, nobody, like, it was kind of like it hadn't happened before. I'm like, yo, what you, like, Cass was like really worried and shit. And so I'm saying that because, as that happened on Twitter in the league, I remember shit. that kind of shifted like my brand and all of that.
Yes.
And I remember my agent called me. He was like, yo, I need you to come to the agency. And this was a crazy day because I'm in Chicago. I walked down the street to the agency and I walked in and they had like this team of people. I ain't never seen this shit. We ain't done this before.
They had a PR intervention.
Nah, I walked. My agent called me, said he'll meet with me. And I'm like, okay. I walked in there. They had a whole table like full of people. And they was only there, okay, we're going to, and they was like, look, man, you know what happened? You can't just, because like for a year, I was just in the cut kind of. And they was like, you can't just sit back. You got to redevelop, revamp your brand. And that's what this team is here to help you do. So they started pitching ideas. Jeez, do you want to do like this? And it was like, some like TV shit came up, some of this. I'm like, no, this is some like, I don't know, some type of like business and marketing. I'm like, man, this shit is weak. It's weird. It's not me, that's
bro.
Not me. Man,
right.
And then they was like, and how about this? And this shit was just like shining. How about a blog and like the Huffington Post? I'm like, wait, you mean to tell me in this office right now, I can write on the Huffington Post? They were like, yeah. I'm like, why didn't y'all just say that from the jump? Hell yeah, run that. Run that, yeah. So then I got a blog with the Huffington Post. If y'all can, it's actually the link on my Twitter and shit.
Yeah.
And I got those pieces. So I started writing there.
Did you ever meet Arianna Huffington?
No, I didn't. I haven't. Yeah. But it was dope when the publication reached out to me on their 10-year anniversary,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like 10 years of the Huffington Post, and they reached out to prep professionals in each field to have them write about 10 years in their field.
Okay.
Like the 10 years of the Huffington Post, but to write about 10 years in their field, what they plan to see or anticipate to see in their respective professional field in the next 10 years.
I said, yeah, I see
so that. Yeah, so that's NFL why I wrote the NFL right in 10 years, maybe. You know, maybe in 10 years. That was written in 2015.
That shit coming up.
Yeah, it was written in 2015, so that's 2025. Maybe in the future of the NFL, defenders will be able to tackle again, and they won't get in trouble for targeting. Maybe, like, and it was like a few different things. Like, it'll be a team sport, all these different things.
We need more motherfuckers like you, bro.
Yeah.
Advocating for the defense players out here, bro.
No,
real bullshit.
Like, and I brought up when it was DJ Swearinger in this article where it's like, wait, oh man, if there was a piece, damn, if I could like read that part of it, I could pull it. That might be too much. I can pull it up.
Yeah, I just thought a point there that was very interesting, what you said. At any point, a team can cut or trade a player out of a contract, release, and distance themselves from a player who is undergoing scrutiny or restructure deals, handling players pay, handling player cuts to make cap room for other interests.
Yeah.
Oh, that's within their rights.
Yeah. That's within their rights. But when a player, it's like, man, if I can't see it from back here.
Mm.
But when a player like
outplays his contract.
Outplays his contract.
Yeah.
Or where Adrian Peterson, where it felt like what happened with him and his son, and they left him out there. And remember when he came back, he wanted to be traded.
I remember.
He felt like, man, the team wasn't really with me. I want to be somewhere else. And they was like, no, you got to stay here.
Right.
So it's like, damn, at any point in time, the paragraph was like, maybe in the future of football, the business will be equally regarded on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where they can cut you, trade you, say, oh, well, you ain't earned your stuff. But if you playing out, if you got a legitimate gripe, if you saying, my family don't like it here,
then you don't have
that same respect.
No, yeah.
You don't have that same space to make decisions for your playing career.
Right. Sure.
And in a game like football, when you have a dangerously short time to maximize on your ability and your ability to earn, to not be able to give in those decisions, it puts guys in tough spots and it affects their life, their family, their future for much longer than just this game.
Right.
So like, so how did owners get that power where the players don't in the future of football? Maybe that'll be equally regarded on both sides.
Okay. That's big right there.
Yeah, check out that article, man.
That is big,
check out that article.
Because see it too many times, guys don't necessarily get the shit, the running back position.
That's a prime example of, you know, they don't get what the fuck they value for. They
honestly should be damn near getting paid more than the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Type shit.
Mm.
Just because of, you know, the what they putting their body through forward to the quarterback just throwing that bitch. These motherfuckers getting hit every play.
Yeah. And the thing is, that investment in running backs, all right, if they not going, if we not going to make that investment in you in the long haul, and we know that, all right, we're going to play him for 5 years and get somebody else, okay. If they not going to make that investment in the long haul, if I'm getting off right now, well, I'm not getting paid right now.
Right.
You know, they got a guy on the third round deal, and he that dude. It's just like, okay, let me get this right now before y'all say I'm out of it.
He been going dumb. Oh, shit. You got to wait till three.
Exactly.
You got to wait till
you got to wait till we going to use you and cut your ass.
Oh, God.
Run you in the ground and turn you loose.
They said we hoping, that's probably a little stretch, but we hoping, like, shit, you don't really get to see that second contract, so we ain't got to pay your ass.
No, I realize. Yeah. So it's like if they know that business is happening, we know that business is happening. Like, where's the line where you're able to make that decision? Because you are your own commodity, and like nobody got your back like you. So you got to do something.
But I said the only decision motherfuckers really got to make that you know you have the utmost control over is fucking retiring, just stepping out of the game.
Real
that's
life.
The only thing you
real
can
life.
Do.
Real life, real life.
Well, back to ballers. Mm-hmm. So. How do we get here?
Yeah, so...
How do we get to the ballers?
Because you was like, the transition. How do we get on ballers? Yeah. So, yeah, so the transition... So, I was always writing. Then, when that happened on Twitter, because I had, like, little, like, community on Twitter. We'd be, like, passing ideas back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, rocking. I'd be speaking about Islam and Muslim and all of that stuff. Like, we'd be on, like, having conversations on there. Then that kind of matured and graduated, like, grew up to, like, the Huffington Post. Mm. And then when I retired, that was kind of the big thing. When I was going to retire... my agent was like, all right, what do you want to do? You want a press conference? I was like, no, I'm going to write about it. And that's when I wrote, like, why I retired at 26. Mm-hmm. And that piece kind of, like, really blew up and went to all these places. And that was the same time where Ballers and HBO, they had just shot their pilot. Mm-hmm. And they had just got it picked up by HBO. So they were in the form of putting their writer's team together to go into the season, go into their season, going to making the show. And while it happened, Why I Retired was written. And then the showrunner, like the leader of the show, head writer, not the creator, but the head writer. He went to the creator, Evan Riley. He was like, yo, man, have you seen this piece by this football player? Check this out.
You gotta get
Gave
this
it
nigga.
To Steven Levinson and was like, yo, you ready? He's like, yeah, I like him. I like that. Let's bring him in. So I had a few phone conversations, did some interviews. They like had me like mock write up some script. Then they said, it was like down to me and some other, they said like an established like Hollywood writer. They said it was down to me and him. I don't know if that was a real person or made up.
But they still
had me on the chase. And then it was like, you know, we gonna rock with you. They brought me in a 3-week contract.
Yeah.
And in that time, it was like, you're pretty good at this. Stick with us. And then I was been there for the whole time. So it was five seasons, 6 total years.
Yeah.
From 2014 to 2019, I had hands on every single episode.
That's live. Great show.
Fire. I'm a fan. I glad they brought somebody that actually played.
Yeah.
Nah, real life.
Outside of
real
just life. The Rock, but like somebody right. that guys that played actually in on the actual creative process, not just like the acting part, but actual
the
writing the whole and creating side.
That's and I'll tell you this, I'd hate to see what it would have looked like if I wasn't there. Because I was there, I'm like, damn, y'all for real?
Talk your shit.
Oh, man. So, so thankfully, man, together we worked
Who's
it out.
Who's your favorite character?
Made the, man, that's tough. It's like, it's hard. It's hard for me because it's like not the character. It's hard for me to look past John David Washington. He got so much zeal, man. He got so much zest. He got so much on him.
Ricky Jarrett.
Yeah, Ricky Jarrett. And it's like, man, I'm like, because Ricky be wilding. But I'm like, we ain't give enough, like, context of why he was off the rails or what was really driving him. And that's where I feel like...
like him, maybe, like, his dad's dynamic family. Like,
there's
like
a lot of y'all probably going. Because that's that, like, because the thing we would say in the room is it's Sunday night comedy. So whenever shit got too deep, got too thick, got too real, it's like, yo, it's still Sunday night. It's a comedy, or they call it a dramedy. It's 30 minutes. It's still got to be light at the end of the day.
Right.
You can't have people too, like, bogged down in the anything. So it was like, man, whenever we get right on the cusp, but like, you know, where it feel like going there, it's just like, yeah. And it was like, so the kind of entertainment run out. So it's a like kind of fast, fun, like poppy show.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, there's no elements. I know as players, we want to see more. And to be real, kind of low key, we in the talks of bringing the film. So like 5 seasons in that film coming back. I'm speaking with the creator. To be like, all right, what we weren't able to do. and the comedy we can be able to do in this film, and
that's
and,
be
and add that fire. Element and that level of dramatic.
Where Sweet like, said, "Sweet said, bro, can I get a ticket to the parade for real?
No, real life. When that time comes, nigga, the Raw Room, y'all there
for sure,
for real, straight up. Because we said yeah. real, so the Raw Room, yeah, y'all yeah. there. When that's happening, no, because I promise you, and I mean this shit. I'm saying this. When the film comes out and you guys are there, I want y'all to tell me if you feel it.
Okay.
Because if y'all feel it, then we did our thing. If you guys really feel it, then we did it. If not, then slap the shit out of me. If not, this ain't all that you playing.
Yeah. Okay, man.
How much like real life did you write? So for instance, my favorite character, I feel like my favorite character development story is probably Reggie.
Yeah, I feel that.
Like, seeing Reggie,
I feel you. Yeah.
Season three, you see him.
And Reggie's maturation.
Yeah, you see him with, like, button downs and slacks. Yep. Like, he was just, like, you know, doing his thing, bro. So, like, was that some of the stuff that, you know, you probably experienced having a homie or anybody?
Absolutely. So, that's the conversations and the stories in the room.
Yeah.
And shout out to T. Suggs. Sorrell Suggs was in the first part earlier. Sure.
Yeah, he was.
Just in the show. He was part of the writing development process on.
I remember hearing about
season
that.
One. Yeah. So he was in there for a little bit. He has his film and production company.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
I think it's T. Sizzle Productions, I believe.
Nice.
Okay. So he's a part of it too. But in the room is probably like a collection of 7 to 9 writers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 12, 13 when you incorporate like script coordinator, like editors, just other people in the room.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
So in that room, we're having conversations. It's collaborative. The whole show is collaborative.
Mm.
Like we're having conversations all the time. Different things come up in the world, in the sports world, and we'll speak about it to land on certain things. Now, who obviously has the most driving power is the creator of the show, Stephen Levinson, the show's creator, the head man, where it's like, all right, it's going to land on, you know what I'm saying, his name. He's the one that did Entourage as well. And they say the same makers of Entourage.
Okay.
Him and Rob Rice. You have Rob Weiss, like the vet writers in the room. So it's like, we in this room, we speak and we building it. And everybody's given the opportunity to have these pitches. And then we land on on certain scenes, certain courses for characters, certain tracks in those certain moments.
Gotcha.
And then they maybe just be in a room chilling and somebody tell a story like a crazy. I told them when... my rookie year, how like when I wasn't, because you know the first round pick, you got to bring donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts for the team. For the away
ours
game
was
every
Popeyes.
Time. But I wasn't so at
ours
first.
Was Popeyes food for the plane.
Oh no, it was Popeyes on Saturdays and the Krispy Kremes as well.
Yeah.
The positions would bring the Popeyes.
Okay.
And then the first round I had to bring the whole donut.
The donuts was for the meetings of the day. We don't do nothing. It's like walkthrough day. You gotta bring the donuts for that day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And then the Popeyes was for the plane.
Yep. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yes,
that meal.
Yes, sir.
And so when I wasn't coming in, I'm just like, damn, do I wake up? I didn't know how serious it was.
No, they was.
Do I wake up just to bring Krispy Kremes and go home? Hey, that don't even make sense.
You better pull up if you can't carry this.
Yeah,
because
that's what niggas is counting on. I didn't know that. That was really what cast.
I was on IR the same year. I had to get up Saturday morning.
Yep.
Popeyes, it better be on the plane.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Look, if you
I'm kind of like, it's a million cats at the stadium. Can't somebody, or at
bro,
the facility,
if you in a wheelchair or you on crutches, you better have somebody with you holding the
shit. Yes, holding the shit.
Your little brother better be bringing that shit.
Drop it off. Exactly. It better be there.
So I learned that it was that real. And that in that moment where in the episode where Ricky Jarrett and Alonzo Cooley are going at it, mm-hmm. and he wanted the number and everything. When he went into the cold tub, he put his Jordans in there. He was like, "Oh, you got my cold tub."
That was
that's
crazy.
That's what happened to me. I didn't bring the
for real.
I didn't bring the donut.
Real
so they put my stuff in the cold tub, and they was like, "Rookie, make sure you got this." And I was like, "Ha ha, whatever." That was my like my walkthrough, like
the hazing
type
shit.
But then we went to the walkthrough. Did the whole thing. When I got back into my locker, they didn't do my football clothes. They had my real
clothes.
My street clothes.
They don't do your football stuff. They do what you want.
Exactly. So they put my football stuff first and then put my real clothes in the cold tub after I thought it was over. I'm like,
normally they don't even do football stuff. They wait till you change and get dressed.
Yeah.
And what you wore to the facility, your regular street clothes,
put that shit
that's what goes
in the cold
tub.
Yeah. So, and
your
I ain't know that.
Football stuff don't go in the cold tub. This what you got on now, if that's what you wore.
Yeah.
To work and you change in the locker room.
Yeah.
All that's going in the cold.
Don't try to be fucking quick and put your shit on. They gonna toss your ass in that bitch too. We're fucking around.
No, you can't get around it.
Goddamn donuts better be there.
So I thought it was over. They did me. I'm like, damn. But I was like, who did that? I was kind of like, I felt like that was, but.
Okay. Nigga, they're gonna be like, nigga,
so I told that story and they were like, oh, that's crazy. And
we gotta put that
into the show.
That's crazy, bro. That's
that happened because that's a real life. That happens.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. But I can talk about the show all day long, but I ain't gonna bore everybody with it. But
I'm
gonna
ask you a question.
You did.
He was here. Ask him. Yeah, no, sweet. Go ahead. He right.
Some good stuff. One, two, three. I feel like I've asked this question before, but was this in the writing room? Like that real come to Jesus moment?
Okay.
Like I'm talking about Ricky again when he got down on his knees.
Yeah, I think this
is episode one.
Episode one, early on. Yeah, early on.
And like, because he was like, oh shit, I got to get on my knees. So like, what was, like, was that a moment for y'all? So like, I got to get my shit together.
Yeah, so it's episode one. Mm-hmm. So that's early in that character development. And it was always written in very early on that Ricky would be like very spiritual, like man, individual. Very, and almost a little bit like over spiritual. And I feel like as the show goes on, you don't see that as much as it was. But that was part of his character.
Really? He's going to be spiritual?
No, I know.
What?
To where it's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But so early on where he's like, man, and it's kind of like that Ricky Jarrett pull. Is he really into God or is he selfish enough to be like, man, I done fucked up again. God, I really need you right now.
He
was like, I don't want Green Bay to cut me. I'm not trying to end up somewhere else. So we got on his knees and it still happened and it still went down.
But
that's those things where it's like as the show's beginning, as it's starting, and then as the room's going and the conversations where it's like some things kind of stick and you get more into, kind of like Spencer and his pills and that problem and shit. What he's trying to, and then other things kind of like Ricky too. And his and his religion kind of like Wayne's, it go up and down.
I got you. How y'all who was in the room where y'all thought about doing the VR porn?
That, you remember that? That's funny.
That's funny.
The episode turned on, right? I'm watching it, you know, big screen. And my wife, she walk up. The only thing you see at the time, I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. Y'all, why on the VR?
She thinks she
watched the board.
That's not what it looked like.
It ain't that. I thought it was ballers.
So that's one of those moments where the characters kind of take off. That's such a Rob Corddry thing.
He's hilarious,
that
plays, bro.
He's funny.
That means so much for him. That's some shit that I feel like it just really happened and that was him. I don't even remember the day when we in the room like speaking about that because I was like, man, Corddry, that's one of those things where like our actor, like Corddry, would kill this shit right now.
Yeah. He went crazy.
He's funny as shit.
He went hilarious the whole episode. So were like you involved in casting and all or like you were just writing? Other characters coming in?
So it's kind of like any team. As you brought in for your position, for your role, as you're in the team, your role either kind of like grows and blossoms or it kind of like narrows out. So as I was brought in as a writer, but throughout the time, like 5 years, 6 years, you start going. I've spent the last 2 seasons, 3 years as producer, co-producer, supervising producer. And as you're like getting into the development of the show and you know what's going on more, then they start calling you to ask, like, you know, there's a couple for the Piss Man. That's where it was like they was trying, you know, trying to find out like, when Vernon had to pee in the cup.
Oh, yes.
And they was him and Reggie was promoting the weed company. Yeah, so they like, Spencer said, you can't piss. Everybody involved was kind of like, well, what does a piss man look like? What would he move? What he? So for the casting,
right
I was brought in to kind
of
help.
Job of picking a piss man. He's like some random weird.
Yeah, like, look, weird. A little bit weird.
Yeah. Who wants to collect piss?
Man, you look at dogs all day.
Who wants to do
that? Some of them be good dudes, but they also be weird. They be weird as fuck. It's like, why? Why are you handling piss?
Like, for real. So as it goes on.
Why?
How do you get into this line of
Tell
work?
Tell me how much they pay. That shit might make sense.
How do you get into this line of work, bro?
So you kind of develop a role in it, and
Vernon was dope too. His whole character development throughout the whole thing was fire, bro. All right,
this is a good show, man.
It's fire.
Can we get in the movie?
Hey, I feel you.
You know what I mean? Because it's a show.
Cameo. Hey, no,
Ricky,
real life.
Ricky and what's his name? Ricky
real life.
And,
so here's how it works.
Started a podcast, so.
Yeah, real life.
It's like a rival little podcast. You know what I mean?
We got to get the wrong room.
Be in the movie.
Wrong room in the movie.
Get us in the movie.
I got you. We'll see what I can do.
Okay.
We'll pull up.
See what I can do.
Get us in the movie.
Hey, most definitely.
We're here.
We'll be a rival pod to him. You know what I mean? Talk some shit.
Most definitely. Go crazy, you know?
Most definitely,
man.
All right, so
what did you got, bro?
I guess we really had on, I guess it was some more football stuff, but I guess we're going to get to this last little.
You want
to
do this?
Last
this
little read? Question. Huh? Mm-hmm. What question? Well, I guess we wanted to talk about this little something right here. The little tweet that he had.
About your
former teammates.
Let's get it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it.
So you said Ben was a poor leader.
Hold on. Dan, okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just reading what Faye put
I said here. If this person is the leader you say he is, mm-hmm. would this go down like this?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
This is this overemphasis on the quarterback position.
Right.
Because like this don't have to do with him, like per se, but this is a larger Pittsburgh thing where it's like, I'm being for real, man, for as great as those teams were and are that I played on.
Yeah.
Man, that shit kind of rubs me wrong. It's like all this, there's like a lot of credit like overly given to one person, to one man at seven.
Yeah.
So it's like, so in real life, I'm like, it's a fucking Pittsburgh thing where it's like, whenever we doing great, whenever we doing well, oh, it could be the team, but the quarterback's amazing. He's awesome.
Damn.
Whenever we fucking struggling, whenever we doing bad, fire Tomlin. Like, what you mean, fire Tomlin?
Okay, oh, shit.
The fucking Le'Veon and AB, they having too much fun. They doing too... It's just like, wait, every time it's not going well, are we a team or not? Are we a team? When we go take this field, do we win? Are we the Steelers? And when we lose, it's just like, okay, like certain people are shielded from the loss. And then everybody... And then anybody else taking the blame.
Yeah.
And who that... Somebody else happens to look like us a lot of the time. I've been in Pittsburgh for a while. I'm just like, yo, this shit's starting to add up. So it's like... What does it say? If this seven is the leader, you and it's crazy. I got the clip from Any Given Sunday. I was literally watching Any Given Sunday on this night.
Yeah.
And what do you see? You remember the movie, right?
Yeah, I remember
on that movie. What do you see?
I remember the movie.
You have a quarterback who is like, all right, is his head getting too big? And it's like that team, and you got Julian Washington, the running back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like that team being like, look, man, however good you are or think you are, nigga, you're not the only one out here.
Right.
Motherfucker, we out here too. Mm-hmm. If your head get that big, it's going to be the same thing. It's the balloon that's going to take us away from where the fuck we need to be.
Damn.
And that's so clear and apparent in this movie. But in real life, we living in Pittsburgh, and we really got a person who's like, whose image of playing injury and playing tough is so fucking large. It's starting to pull away from us being a great team.
Everybody else. Yeah.
Let's be for the 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers.
He got carried early on. Yeah, defense carried him.
The fucking 2008 defense of the Steelers is one of the best in the NFL history.
If they play defensive units in the Hall of Fame, that would be one of the best.
That's
first
what I'm saying. So when you even speak about the 08 Steelers, how you not start with that defense? Like, for real.
And it's just like,
yeah, and through it. So it's like, yo, when it's going well, you have all these players, all these men putting their hand in the pile to do their thing. But it's like, it tends to be, it's like, oh, credit's given to the quarterback. He won two Super Bowls. It's seven this. And this ain't even about the person as much as about, like, fucking balance. Mm. And it's like, okay. Mm. But, like, when it's, losing, like when it's losing, it's somebody's problem. And then there was a problem when it became 84, AB. So it was like, okay, this motherfucker might be the best in time at his position at receiver.
Yes.
And so he's operating all the, all right, so if I'm that dude, then like, you know, you had a 2018, like top 100 players. Number one, you have Tom Brady. Number two is Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
If you fucking second, then Tom Brady, one of the best ever. AB might be chasing Jerry Rice. So it's like, how am I this in the entire league, but I got to walk into my own team, my own facility and duck my head down and get under a guy who's, he might be top 10 quarterbacks. He not number one. He not number three. Ain't Drew Brees still playing at this time? Ain't Tom. Ain't there. All of this and that. So it's like, it don't make sense how this like respect is being broken down because of even the way that like we fucking playing this game. And so it's just like the only thing I was saying in that thing where I'm like, okay, if the leader was it Coach Bagnacci? He was saying on the thing, he's like, yo, that quarterback like is the spot. Al Pacino, when he's saying like, when you win, you're getting credit when that fall, it's like those guys got to be able to come with you. And you're going to be like, you have to like carry and take that fall and the whole thing. So I'm seeing it. I'm like, damn. Okay. So this was for me. So I'm like, if we win the game and our quarterback's so great, then it's like, that's fine. If we lose this game, like in the Super Bowl, it's on me.
It's on somebody else.
Oh, so it's me because I lost the ball. Like nigga didn't hold on to the ball. Like it's somebody, it's this and that. So I'm like, yo, If that's the leader, wouldn't he take the fall along with the credit anybody else out
just
there?
Just like the coach got supposed to do.
But like whoever the leader is, it's like, how do you leave somebody else out there when it's a fall? Right. Even when Pittsburgh started struggling, even when Le'Veon went away, when Antonio Brown went away, it was the killer bees, the three bees. When they went, it was just like, oh, it was their fault. It's Le'Veon's fault. It's AB's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. So I'm like, yo, if somebody getting credit, won't they take the fall too? if they not taking the fall, then like, okay, is that leadership? You just gonna shake it and let it be somebody else? Because I'm taking the fall for the fucking game and I did my best. That don't even make sense.
Okay, I got to ask you a question. I just like.
This is nigga favorite saying.
So.
does that make sense? Am I tripping?
No,
you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. Because I was like, leave it alone. But I'm like, young, you want to keep saying I lost the game? Okay, like, where the fuck the leader at?
So my question is.
He won all the Super Bowls. How I lose it? If he winning them, how I'm losing it?
Yeah. Okay, so, but who made him the face of the team?
That's
a great question. Here's what I'm saying. Now, this is real player shit. Okay. I don't care who made it, but like, we in this locker room, how you allow that? That's the internal beef. How you allow yourself to be so far away from us to where you some type of hero savior no matter what happens, even if you don't have a great game. Right. You still some type of hero and savior, and we still left out there to pick up the pieces. Like, we fucked the game up. Like, we fucked the game plan up.
You're
talking about Super Bowl. I ain't even had a ball in my hands enough to fuck the game up. I mean, you had the ball. We had, like, over 50-something passes. Mm. Coming from the AFC Championship, when we ran the motherfuckers to death, we ran them into the ground.
Right.
Now we in the Super Bowl.
Still lose, run the ball. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We should have took Green Bay ass to Pittsburgh. Now we in the Super Bowl. We going five wide receivers. We doing shit I've never seen before. And then, like, all right, we going to get in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. Who's going to win that? Shootout between Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers. Who's going to fucking win that?
I got you.
We got to keep his ass on the sideline.
I know who I'm taking.
Oh, God.
We got to keep his ass on the sideline. He got to be looking up at the clock being like, damn, we going to have enough time. They just got another first down. Yep. And like, we go into there and however we won, however we lost, when it's all set up, when it's all said and done, you're not saying the guy, our MVP, our savior, our hero, that's won all these games for us before, you're not saying, damn, he didn't get it done today. Fuck, he'll get him next time. You saying, no, it was somebody else's fault. It was that motherfucker right there on his 15th damn carry. It was him.
Man, so and
for the longest time, I was like, leave that shit alone.
Like,
no, so we wasn't in. Oh, we wasn't in the locker room after that. Go ahead.
I'm saying, like, just like after that, the whole persona of what Ben was, right?
Uh-huh.
Was that how y'all felt? I'm talking about like not during
Super Bowl.
You're
talking about
the team? Like, yeah, the team. Was that the energy that like he was walking around the locker room with? Or is this just what they were saying outside?
Man, that's a great question.
That's my question.
It's like what I felt like, and I can speak from my vantage point in my career, I always felt like before 2010, before Twitter, for us as a team, it always felt like what was outside was outside.
It was outside.
It always felt like that. I'm cool with that. All right, we going to war. We going to battle. When it came like 2010, after the Super Bowl, it was like that shit that was outside was getting inside. It was like seeping in and seeping through the wall like fucking asbestos. Like, and I'm like, wait, so we letting this shit in? We ain't gonna let nobody do nothing about this? So I'm like, if we win this bitch, we win it together. If we lose this, we lose this together. And I'm being for real because it's like, I feel like I was a nigga that was left in Dallas Stadium, G. You know what I'm saying? That's where this is coming from. Where I'm like, yo, how everybody get to, we all lost. Everybody get to walk out this bitch and leave here except me. Y'all want to hold me here and then talk about some certain fans. This is literally a small percentage of fans who want me to bleed and feel it forever.
Right.
Because every time the Super Bowl playoffs come around, they're like, the Steelers supposed to have another one, but this fucking guy.
This
fucking guy. Yeah. I'm like, all right, they're going to be too many guys. Cool out with that. On some Kendrick shit. Like, man, don't tell a lie on me. I won't tell the truth about you. Mm. Okay, let's call it then. Yeah. This guy, I'm the reason. I'm not our fucking fault. I'm what the fuck we did. No, okay. There's more to it than that. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that was one of those.
If Ben was the leader.
It's actually like a paradox. So what did they say after that? They was like, of course he is the leader. He's taking credit for the fall of the Super Bowl so many times. Okay, if he did, then leave me the fuck alone. If he took credit for that, then leave me alone. If he didn't, then he's not the leader you say he is. So either way, the only thing I'm saying is get your foot off my damn neck. I can't breathe, G.
Yeah.
I did my best. Leave me alone. I wanted to win more than anybody because I didn't get to play in 08.
Yeah.
And then we showed up and whatever the fuck was going on, whatever's the case, I'll say this. Our left tackle, Max Starr, said and fucking on 93.7 The Fan, which is like, this the wrong room in Pittsburgh.
It's right,
like
the big room in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, where he was like, hey, after however many years, he said, I felt like we went into that game trying to win larger trophies for certain individuals instead of trying to win that seventh Super Bowl for the Steelers, for the team.
Wow.
He said that shit. So it's like, yo, we came in here with a plan that like, what happened? We won the two Super Bowls before. Ben wasn't the MVP. Who was the MVP in the first one? Hines Ward. Randall L. threw the little reverse pass to Hines. Willie Parker set the record for the longest fucking touchdown run in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
If the Super Bowl is a measure for greatness, nigga, Willie Parker got two Super Bowls. Where he at? He started in both of them in 06 and 08. Ain't he one? He top three rushing all time in Steelers history. Where the fuck is he at?
Damn.
Ain't that what it means to be a champion?
Fast Willie.
What's
Parker.
Up? So it's like in 08, who was the MVP? Santonio Holmes.
Santonio Holmes.
He made the catch and the whole thing.
Tony
we going to three.
Toe tap.
We going to three. So before the game is played, you got to play the game. Yeah. We going to sit here and pick who our MVP is, who our hero is before the game.
I see what you're saying.
But here's the thing. This is real life. This is real stats. Throughout that year, throughout that, we started the first, it was originally the first six games without a quarterback. They got it appealed to four games. They're like, what are they going to do without, man, we still winning. Our running game was in front of our passing game that entire year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying from all the history. It's like, look, my fucking running game is leading the charge.
Just some old school football.
We going to the fucking playoffs. We had to get out of Baltimore fucking third and two to get fucking up. We had to get out of fucking the Jets. We on the ground. We wasn't throwing the ball all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we get to the last game. We get to the most important fucking game. And now we sitting there playing with the outside. It's going to be a battle between two quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers. And we're going to get into that shit and choose our hero before we even step on the field.
I got my ass.
Sweet. I played a million football games in my fucking life. Like, I remember that one clearly.
I'm not even going to say script because, like, I feel like, because...
Am I tripping, King? That makes sense?
No.
So,
it's wrong.
Why would you go away from what got you there?
That's all I'm saying. And then at the end of that, so I'm sitting there, I gave my whole life, carry this whole team, we get to this point, and when it don't work out, like, y'all niggas say it's me.
It's your fault.
It's my fault.
It's your fault.
I'm ready to send it up.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. It's my fault.
Okay.
I lost the game. I'm ready to send it up.
I was just asking that question. So, like, really realistic. Go ahead.
I don't want to say how I want to say it. To your point, like, whose call is it? I would say it's to the same point that he just made. They, you know, maybe like an organization or somebody way higher up than the motherfuckers actually calling the plays was like, oh, we need this motherfucker to be the MVP.
Yep.
Cater to that however the fuck you need to, but make it happen. And so they probably out here calling plays, catering to the motherfuckers up top so they don't get their fucking nuts chopped off.
Yeah, to their boss.
And we got
the Super Bowl started acting totally different. We doing totally shit. We don't even totally different. I'm thinking we got some more tight ends and shit this piece.
Acting brand new.
But either way.
Right.
Whoever the call was, however it happened, at the end of the day, from what I understand in Little League, we win the game as a team. We lose the game as a team.
Come on.
That's it. If you say anything else, if you say it's me, all right, stop playing. Because, like, I'm not too keen to taking that shit.
Right.
I can say it was a whole bunch of other things. But, like, it's still football. It's still a team game. We won and lost as a team.
Yeah. Is the NFL, like, just reactionary to, like, whatever's hot? Be honest.
I'm like, so the NFL...
The NFL I'm
is that shield and that brand that we all play under.
Yeah.
The motherfuckers that watch the NFL, I don't know how they have as much power as these. The people that watch the NFL that make a lot of noise.
They got a lot of power.
So it's like,
we saw that.
They make a lot of noise.
They're the ones that spending the money.
So now it's catered. When you see the commercials, it's catering to the people in the stands, the whole game. Every time you see a commercial of a football player, like Larry Fitzgerald, he not being strong and great. He having to hand a bottle to a kid or a person holding a cell phone. That's like, yes, now that you gave me this bottle of Coke, I'm going to start you in my fantasy.
He might.
Everything's catering to this person. And it's just like, cool, that's business. That's fine. But like niggas really still put their heads and their necks and their hips and their knees and their bodies out there. And ain't nobody taking that lightly. Ain't nobody kidding about that.
We can't.
But like how much voice to say do you have as a player? All right, if they got to say, well, I don't got to say. Mm. Just like you said, those people in the stand, they can talk their shit, okay. But when I talk mine. All right, cool.
And that's the thing, another two with the fans, they know that there's a level of protection for them from us.
Facts.
That's what I'm saying.
They're like, oh, well, shit, I'm just over the internet.
They can say whatever I want, you know, recklessly. And if he does come attack me, I can just sue him and get my money. So it's a win-win for them either way.
That's what I'm saying.
Shabush.
And they know that if you ever see somebody play get into it with a fan, if we try to go on the stand, somebody's going to come grab. Yep, security's gonna come break it up. So they know that there's a level of protection that they have, which I feel like I'm not gonna call it bullshit, but it gives them a level of courage to say whatever the hell they, you know,
absolutely.
Say the bullshit that they say sometimes.
Absolutely.
Knowing that either way, there's no repercussions. Like there's it's a win win for them either way.
Yeah, real life. And it's like they protected. Wouldn't we be the ones that's protected?
You would think so.
Facts. All right, boys. We done been here for a little minute.
Man, it's a good
one. We didn't got to some deep stuff. We're gonna get on a little lighter note.
Yeah, let's get light before we get up out of here now.
Before we get up out of here, man. We had some questions in here, but I want to pop it off with this pay tag cut.
Oh, we got another.
We did one in a minute. This for you.
Okay.
For your you know, teammates that you play with.
Yeah.
And these receivers, right? Pay tag cut. You know how to.
Oh, okay. Pay tag cut. Got you.
Yeah, yeah. So we got Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Hines Ward. Okay. And Antonio Brown.
Damn.
Damn.
Okay, so let's just address the elephant.
Tough.
What Antonio Brown do we have? What time period? We have AB in his heyday?
Yes.
We have AB. No, watch this. I'm going to take this different.
Everybody at their peak. All three.
Everybody at their peak. So yeah, I'm going to take this different. We know what happened with AB. What if we paid him and that never happened? So I'm going to go pay AB.
Okay.
I'm going to take it different. I'm paying
AB.
I'm
paying AB too, absolutely.
Because I want to keep him happy to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
because I'm going to build my team to win the ship around it. 84, I ain't never seen nobody stop.
Nah, that.
When he got drafted, when he walked in, I ain't never seen him stop. When he was in Tampa Bay,
I was about to say Tampa Bay. He still was on, baby.
We ain't never seen him be guarded, G. If we talking about football, we playing football. I've still yet to see that man be guarded.
Mm-mm.
I'm paying AB, like, first and foremost.
Yeah, nah, facts.
I'm paying him first and foremost.
That is, bro, that's so hard because this nigga was so great
cold
for the tenure that he had. And
then
still got cut short, bro. And still niggas is like, to this day, AB, that nigga is still the hardest motherfucker to cover. AB was a cover, dog
at his feet, bro. Man. So facts. After that.
I'm a little biased. Because that growing up, this was one of my favorite receivers, bro.
Absolutely.
Being a dreadhead type nigga, born to be a receiver type shit.
Absolutely.
Bro, the damn Super Bowl catch, motherfucker took that slant to the crib.
Yo, we thought that, I remember we thought that might have been done. It was like, that shit was like, it was almost done. It's like, oh, damn, did they just get us? Did they just do us?
Real. Fact.
So after. So just to, as you were saying, he came up next. I think I'm a tag Fitz for this reason. Man, I love Hines Ward. I want to keep him. But him and AB already played together.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like AB was waiting on him to leave. Yeah. I don't know what that dynamic is. So I'm going to cut Wody and let him be somewhere else.
Okay.
Because I don't think he need to be around AB.
Right.
I'm going to keep Fitz. I paid AB already.
Right.
I paid AB already. I'm going to keep Fitz with him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that can level and balance out. And I'm going to let Wody go do his thing somewhere else.
I like how he did
that.
Real business. Real business.
I'm going to let Ward go do his thing.
He's smart out here. I like that shit, man.
I'm definitely tagging Ward, though.
Tagging Ward.
Absolutely.
You gonna have AB Award? You gonna have AB Award together?
He was right there.
I mean, because speaking of football, bro, like, he's just like Hines Ward. Like,
all time.
He's a Steelers fan. He gonna keep both Steelers.
Bro,
absolutely.
I used to watch.
Hines is everything.
He is, bro. I used to watch. Let me see. It's Asian L, bro. He was on the news for a little bit. I don't know if y'all knew that.
Hines? I do remember.
I used to watch just because he was on the news. That's why I started watching the news. I said, bro, look, Hines on, bro. He's on the news.
He's a Steelers fan. He gonna keep both.
What you saying?
Yeah.
Fat old H&L doing his thug.
Shit.
Hey, absolutely.
Nah, but me, I'm with Shard on this. I'm
paying
AB.
Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
I'm tagging Fitzy and Hines.
Yeah, yeah. Let him go ahead and do his thing. Yeah, yeah.
You'll be good no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm exactly.
He gonna.
I'm with my draft classmate on this one.
Absolutely.
I'm fucking dead.
Most of
that's old ass niggas I was drafting.
You said old ass
niggas. We out here rapping.
Not right.
Old niggas rapping.
Senior citizen couch.
Hey, no, stop playing. We out here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Look, man. We ain't really got much else, bro. We ain't got all hit all the sports, man. We appreciate y'all tapping in.
We got a couple of things. Hold on.
Hold on. I'm cutting it. What we missed?
We can't close this out yet. You know, we talked about AB, Rashard.
What's
and
up?
You know, you obviously, you know, you you played with him, you were close with him, you have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So towards the end of his career, you kind of see, you know, him walking off the field in the middle of the game and shit. That's like true. That. Like, yeah. You know, what are you thinking when, you know, you have more of an inside look to AB as a person? So what do you think about when you see all that shit?
Man, no, real life. Like, I'm actually like next to him as a lot of this shit is happening. It's like, so I'm not being deterred by the headlines and by the media and by what they saying about this person, this man.
Because
I know him. Known him since 2010. Mm. Man. If. Like, I'll say this, man. Like, if he was the guy they were making him to be, if he was the villain, if he was this wild, this crass, I don't think he could have done what he's done in the NFL. Mm-hmm. At the level and in the way. So you have him walking off the field. When he speaks, I'll be listening. So he's saying, it's just like, yo, I the last week, they didn't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So he went out there, I forgot, against whoever the team was, had 10 catches, had 101 yards, whatever the case, it's like, yo, he stood up for you and stepped up in a big moment. Now, mind you, before he got to Tampa Bay, he already served his penance for all those things that happened, all those sentences. He's in there playing football.
Right. Yeah.
So after that game, he steps up for his team. He does well in the game. And in the post-press conference, what are they talking about? Oh, man, you forged that COVID card, blah, 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 this and that. He's like, yo, man, I already, like, look, man, it's COVID. Some people want to take the shot. Don't. I already served my time for that. I already served that suspension. We already dealt with that. Y'all trying to bring this to something that it's not about. Let's talk about football. Let's look forward. Let's speak about the game. And what BA said, he was a model citizen that first year. He already paid his shit. He went to Tampa Bay
right.
with no idea, no enemy, but to play football, to play it as well as he could. Mm-hmm. That stuff's coming in, seeping in. When they playing in this game, their receivers are back. And I'm just saying, like, their receivers are back. And he's like, okay, so now, and I got this ankle. Like, I think I should rest. No, you're going to play. He's coming off the bench. I don't give a whatever it was. But it's like, you take, now here's the thing. Why am I saying this? It's Tom Brady and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Every single ball that's thrown, like, all right, there's somebody that threw it. There's somebody on the receiving end of it. Every ball that's thrown, somebody on the receiving end. Every time a ball is caught, that means somebody threw it. When I see a quarterback, and they the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
When I see Tom Brady, I see Antonio Brown. When I see Antonio Brown, I see Tom. They the same guy. He was drafted in the sixth round. They the best of our time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dog, you, it's like, and AB, what he's saying, it's like, so now, like, he's just a guy. He the sixth receiver off the bench behind Scotty Miller. His ankle hurt. He's saying, look, I don't feel like I'm being, like, looked after.
Value.
I don't feel like I'm being valued. I don't feel like I'm being respected.
Facts.
And if in my mind, if I'm fucking Tom Brady and I'm not being respected, nigga, y'all tripping. I'm not.
Facts.
So right. When he takes that approach, he's not thinking he's AB with all the controversy and the blah, blah. He's, you know, the view I'm from AB your helmet. He's on the film.
Right.
Every time a ball come his way, he just see himself tracking that bitch. Yeah. Every time a ball come, he doing this. So he's like, look, this don't make respect. You guys would never treat the best player in the game like this. And I'm still the best player in the game.
Arguably. Yeah.
Fuck it. I don't need to be here. Y'all tripping. Right. And his, I'm the best player in the game. How y'all do? Y'all niggas tripping. So y'all can go ahead and be sorry without me. He left the field. I'm not even playing. Nigga, the Tampa Bay ain't been a contender since. I ain't heard from him since.
That's true.
He made an impact on that team. Like, every football team he played. Man, I know nigga wear fur coats and gold chains. Living kind of fast. I'm sure he living fast. Nigga play receiver. Yeah. But it's like, when it come to football, I'm like,
that nigga was a dog.
I see Antonio Brown and I see Tom Brady. They the same exact
thing. I see what you're saying.
Straight up. And you, I don't, everybody personality different. If I don't like that person, a nigga fish in the offseason, and I don't like that, what the hell that got to do with him being a dog as a damn lineman?
Watch AB.
And so I'm like, dog, yeah, I'm trying to win football. I'm with that man. And I'm like, look, what's the actual issue? When the teammates start having a problem, then I believe it.
Right.
The teammates are like, no, that's some bullshit. Then I'm with it. If they still sitting there, it's like, damn, this is a tough situation. That sounds like some outside shit to me.
Yeah. It's a lot of outside.
Yeah, and once again, I don't get lost in the headlines. I had to live into myself. I didn't like had to walk through and keep myself through controversy. So when it come to him, when it come to that, I don't get lost in that.
All right. That's love right there.
It is love.
A lot of insight right there.
I feel like it's just really real talk. It is like a lesson for a lot of people, bro. It really is. Because at the end of the day, like, I feel like a lot of, especially in this younger generation, man, y'all take too much stock in what folks saying online.
Dog. Mm-hmm. Like, for real.
Too much stock.
Mm-hmm. Dog. And I'm going to be for real. Here's what's crazy.
Yeah.
Nigga, I work in Hollywood, G.
Yes, he does.
So I'm literally in the room. They're saying this is exactly how the audience is going to react to this move. I'm watching. I'm with the people that pull the hands to do these things. When we not talking about ballers, certain things that come in the room on different businesses that the people in there run and this and that, this shit is being decided on. By people who have the ability to decide. And like, I didn't been there, I didn't seen that. So I'm like, yo, I'm not taking like what marketing is saying, what people is saying about this. I want to hear it from the source. I want to hear it from the player, from the guy, from the person that was there. Right. Not a motherfucker on a camera with a mic, however many miles away, saying that, oh, this is like from this and that. Right. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear it from the source.
Yeah.
And until that's the case, I'm not just going to jump on it or go on it.
Nah, thanks.
Yeah, you can't, scary, definitely bro. Can't believe all the headlines and shit.
No, real life.
Nah, fuck with
it. Yeah. Especially when it comes to a situation like that.
No, exactly.
Like I said, I've always been AB, the football player. Like, you can't.
Nah, yeah, for definitely
real.
Not.
You can't take nothing away from him. Nah, what he's
not
done
a
on
damn thing.
Nah,
damn, like,
he's
for real.
Not a damn thing.
You turn the film on, like you said, whether it's even in, when he got to Tampa, it wasn't nothing.
It wasn't
nothing.
It wasn't the same schedule program. Mm. No, like, tear that shit up out there. Yeah.
For real.
Whew.
What was you got,
man? Shout out, yeah. I hope I, shout out on, to Jay-Z. AB, man. That's
no, really
because we all rock with him, bro. And it was, no, it's some bullshit to see that shit play out like that, for real.
And you see how in just in real life, in regular life, how like just people, regular people, even girls in the high school, like when somebody's speaking about you in a negative light, in a negative way, that don't feel good. Like people gossiping about you and like all this and that shit at some point, and it's like, when it never relents, when it never stops and fade, that'll have some type of effect on you. So, and even the type of dude that he is, it's like, all right, y'all going to say I'm a bad guy enough? I didn't watch him kind of play and become bad guy, too. If that's part of his shit, all right, I'm the bad guy. Then nigga, boo. I'm going to spook the shit out you, too.
Oh, God.
And, like, cats is made like that, too. Niggas made like that, too. So, it's just like, yo, you can't play with somebody. Everybody not playing. So, that's a cat that's not playing, too. Y'all niggas going to give me the fucking ball or what?
Hey.
That boy's sorry. Give me the fucking ball. Oh. Why is he saying that? Because he's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But when Tom do it, it's fire. When AB do it, it's selfishness. Right, and they both trying to win. Right. And they both got the capability to win. And they both carrying their team to a win.
One is just
I don't see the fucking difference because I watch film.
And one is like
that's arrogance. What I'm saying. Yeah, what's the difference? Yeah.
Damn,
when AB was throwing that water cooler in Pittsburgh, what's the difference? Mm. He's trying to win. He the best player on the field. He the field general. Motherfucker, get him the ball. He said, I'm still open. What y'all niggas doing?
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we got
that shit makes too much sense to me.
Because we can't see no more shit.
It makes too much sense.
I don't need to see no DBs losing.
It makes too much sense.
They ankles and knees got this blood here,
bro. Oh, my God. Your knees got tight.
Your
groin got tight.
Who's your fault,
bro?
Stop
it. I ain't never seen no shit like that, bro.
Come on now, bro. Nah, that's crazy as fuck. Shout out to AB.
Shout out to AB.
Big shout out to Rashard Mendenhall.
Shout out to Rashard.
Shout out to the game, bro. Taking a long trip to tap in with the boys, man.
Appreciate you coming through.
We appreciate the story.
Nah,
we really didn't even get
y'all.
To touch on everything we wanted to, man. Bro. But we got to get up out of here. We're going to have to do this again, bro.
Got to.
Appreciate the Real Roomy love, man. Thank y'all for tapping in. Y'all go get the merch, man. Where can we find you at before we get out of here?
Oh, man, I'm on the socials.
Yeah, I'm going to say your handle.
Twitter, Insta, Facebook, YouTube. I'm over there.
I'm going to say, you got to tell us your handle.
Oh, at R_ Mendenhall.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, sir. Yeah. Y'all tap in with the gang. Very talented ballers, writer. He do be rapping on the side. You know what I'm saying?
You hear me? He got bars.
Trying to get better. Yeah.
Nah, facts. But yeah, we appreciate y'all tapping in, man. We out of here.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
If you have something to say and need a place to help you say it, check out the boys at the Raw Room Media Group to get information on recording the session.
Appreciate y'all for listening. Hey, follow us. Follow us at the Raw Room, Twitter, Instagram. Follow me at Wesson_Sun56 on Instagram. On Twitter, DB_5Trey.
Follow your boy, JC. JCar_11, Twitter. Instagram, JCar_32. And the Raw Room is at Raw_Room.
Roomies, we appreciate y'all for listening. We'll tune in for you next week. Peace.